I want to talk to you today about an important subject. I want to talk to you today about restoration. There's a program that I used to see on television, and there was this guy, he would buy this old rusty stuff, might be an old Coke machine. And he would take it and he would sandblast it, get all the rust off of it, and then he would find somehow or another new parts to go on it, and he would put it back into mint condition until it was totally restored. And I want to say to you today something that God has laid on my heart for us as a people. I believe, and I believe this deep down within, that 2017 is going to be a year of restoration. Everything that the devil has taken from you, he's going to have to return it, the Bible says, sevenfold. And your enemies that come at you, they'll come at you one way and depart five ways, the Bible says. And so this song we sang a while ago that Jamie had us sing, well, I always pray on Friday night. We come over here and pray for the service. And I know God was leading in that, because that going into the enemy's camp, that's what we're going to do this year. We're going to take back what the devil has stolen from us. Maybe he's taking your dignity. Maybe he's taking your family. Maybe he's taking your finances or your health or your children or your self-esteem or your peace of mind. This is the year that we're going to take it back in Jesus' name. It's a year of restoration, and I believe that. So with all that in mind, I want to read for you a scripture today. And this whole chapter is good. Thank you. Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. When you get there, say amen. Joel 2:25. He says, and I will restore. Everybody say restore.
Restore.
And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. Everybody say, none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And then verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Take someone's hand next to you. Let's pray together as the family of God in this place this morning. May we pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we come thanking you, Lord, that we serve a God that is able to take the broken, shattered pieces of our lives and experiences and put them back together and make us stronger than ever before. We're asking now, Lord, for your presence. We're asking for your anointing. And right now we come in agreement and we bind every spirit contrary to the Holy Spirit. And we say, Lord, have your will and your way. We plead the blood of Jesus over this people and this place. We pray for you to touch each one that's come and those that are absent from us. Some are working, some are sick. And we pray for healing in their bodies and your blessing. And now, Lord, give me unction to preach. Unction. And I pray that, God, you'd open our hearts to receive it today. I pray that, God, that everybody would leave here today on the path to restoration. And we ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. To appreciate what I'm going to share with you this morning, you've got to read verse 1, and I won't read all of this passage, but listen to what he says in verse 1, everybody. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Now, this is the holy mountain. That's talking about the church of Jesus Christ. That's the holy mountain. The trumpet is the gospel, and the one that blows it is the preacher, the messenger. And he says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. There's a coming of the Lord when He will come back and take His children home. Amen? We know that. But also, the Lord comes at various times and interrupts our lives to change us, to get us out of the habitual state or besetting sin that we might be in, to get us out of paths that are crooked and wrong. From time to time, God will come and interface with you in your life to try and get our attention. You know, God loves us, and He wants to bless us. And sometimes God, like I tell parents, He applies pressure to the maximus glutamus to get a reaction in the cerebral cortex. It's amazing how your butt and your head's connected. I mean, you know, God applies pressure there, and all of a sudden, wow, I got a whole new attitude, you know? And God will do that. It's not because He's a bad God. It's not because He's a mean God. It's because He's a loving God, and He cares. And so, when it's talking about this in this past, I want you to think about that, not so much about the return of the Lord, but the right now in our lives. A lot of times in life, we get off track, don't we? We kind of get off the path that God's got for us. And we need to be restored. We need to be restored. And, you know, I had somebody, all this is on my mind because I had a conversation with somebody this week. And I was telling them I was sorry for something they had gone through and their loss. And this person wrote back and said, thank you, brother. Said, I'm sorry I messed up. And I said to the person, I didn't say you didn't mess up. But I said to them, I didn't tell them they didn't mess up. But I said, listen, you cannot mess up God's plan for your life. The good news is that when we are unfaithful, God remains faithful. And He will be faithful to bring trial and judgment and awful times to our lives if we get out of His will, because He wants us back on the right track. Amen? But let me tell you, when we get back on the right track and we repent, let me tell you something, the plan's still there. God's plan is still there. I wrote back, I said, God's plan is still waiting on you. It's still waiting on you. The plan hadn't changed. God made the plan, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. He made a plan. Read Ephesians 2. It says, for by grace are you not saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. It says, but we were created unto good works, which God had planned before the world began. You see, God had a plan for your life. And though you might deviate from it, God doesn't change His mind. You can't change His mind. You might say, well, God might change His mind because of what I've done, what I said, where I've been, or how I've lived, or I've forgotten Him. Let me tell you something. My brother, my sister, you are not that powerful. You don't have enough power to make God change His mind about you. He loves you, and He has a plan for you, and it's a good plan. It's better than anything you and I can come up with. Amen? I'm glad of that. He's got something. He has hardwired you for this plan. He has endowed you and anointed you and put within you the seeds of greatness to accomplish what God wants you to do on this earth. My little girl, we were riding down the road last night, and my wife, God bless her, she lays hands on her every night, and I do too. And she was repeating what her mama, she said, thank you, Jesus, I'm the head and not the tail. Glory to God. That's what my little girl said riding down the road. Thank you, Jesus, I'm the head and not the tail. She said, I am bright, I am intelligent, I will excel in music. Bless God, she said all that. Glory to God. This is the year of restoration. I don't care how much you've lost, who you lost it to, how down you are, how far in the depths you are, how much you owe. This is the year for God to turn it around in Jesus' name. Glory. I got to looking at this scripture, and it got on my mind, and it says there in verse 25, Lynn, verse 25, it says, "And I will," what's that word? Restore. We talk about restoration, right? "And I will restore to you the years." How many here say today, "I've lost some years"? Come on, let's be real. "Pastor, I've lost some years. I've lost some years." Remember that song, "Wasted Years," that old song? "And I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten." And then it describes, it says, "the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. My great army." You got to get this last part. Say this with me. "My great army, which I sent among you." Listen, this is where some preachers, they get off track. They say God never sends any trouble to your life. That's a lie. I told you, God will send trouble to move us in the direction He wants us to go. Amen? But I looked at these different bugs, for lack of a better word. I said, what does all this mean? I've been studying the Bible for 35 years, and I don't understand what the bugs are here. They never taught us that in seminary. We didn't talk about bugs in seminary. And I got to looking at this and studying it, and this is what I found out. I thought this was very interesting because it lets us know how we are sometimes attacked by the enemy and also sometimes how God uses things to change us. Now listen, sometimes we need restoration for one or two things. You need to get this before I tell you the rest of it. Sometimes we need restoration, like I said, because we've gotten off track. Amen? We've established that. Y'all got that down, okay, right? Y'all got that, okay. But there's sometimes a different kind of restoration we need. We need to be restored, not because we were out of God's will, but because the enemy attacked us. Do you remember a man named Job in the Bible? He was a righteous man. The Bible says, quote the King James, "He feared God and eschewed evil." In other words, he was a godly man. He was top notch. He was living for the Lord. God was first in his life. But yet the devil attacked him. God let down the hedge of protection, and the enemy came and attacked him. He lost his children in a tornado. He lost his health. He had boils all over his body. You know what a rising is? You ever had a rising? Man, that's a hurting thing. Can you imagine having them over every inch of your body? You couldn't lay on your side because you got them all on your side. You couldn't stand up and not hurt because your feet's got them on the bottom. You couldn't lay on your back. My God, that's a hurting thing. He had them all over his body. And then he had three miserable comforters, I call them, three friends that came. They didn't give him any help. They were like, "Well, it's all your fault and all this, you know." He said, "Well, I've been serving God. Why would God be judging me?" And his wife said, "Well, just curse God and die." And he lost all of his money, and he was the wealthiest man in the East at that time. Can you imagine somebody, I mean East, just the whole East. Can you imagine somebody say, "You're the wealthiest person in the South"? Woo! Glory to God, we'd eat on you tonight. I'm going to tell you, we'd let you take everybody out to eat. He was the wealthiest man in the East. And he lost it all in one day. I mean, you didn't even have time to kind of work up to it, you know, and get your mind wrapped around this thing. In one day, he lost it all. I mean, somebody was knocking at the door, and they would come in, and while they were telling him what he had just lost, the door, somebody was knocking again. And he lost it all. And all of this wasn't because he was a sinner away from God. It was because God was showing the devil what he was made of. And sometimes we have to be restored because the enemy has attacked us. Now look at the bugs. Y'all remember the bugs? I was talking about bugs. How many of y'all like bugs? A good friend of mine is in Africa right now. They were eating roasted grasshoppers. We would call them grasshoppers. In the Bible, they're called locusts. And in this scripture, verse 25, he talks about locusts. By the way, they had a big old pan of them. Brother Kate Snow, some of you know, they were eating those doggone nasty locusts. Yeah, they were. First of all, you notice he describes something there. He calls it the canker worm. And then the caterpillar and palmer worm. What are these talking about? Well, first of all, let me describe to you what the canker worm is. or excuse me, let me back up. The Palmer worm. What is a Palmer worm? A Palmer worm is the larvae stage of a locust. You know what a locust is? A grasshopper? Let me see your hands. Y'all still with me? I won't lose nobody in the bugs now, okay? Stay with me. The Palmer worm, and Brother Palmer sprays these things probably. The Palmer worm is the larvae stage of the locust. He's a larvae. And listen, let me tell you about this Palmer worm. The Palmer worm, is another name for him is called the pilgrim worm because he wanders. He wanders. And you know, they are, I want you to understand this. There are something on this earth that are, you can't see them, but you feel the effects of them. They're called demons. Anybody ever heard of a demon? Now don't tell me that you're sitting next to one or nothing like that, okay? But demons are real. God cast Satan and a third of the angels out of heaven. That number of angels we know is to be in the hundreds of millions. These are demons or demonic angels. And there are different ranks of these demons, just like there are in any army. There's different ranks. And there's a lower rank that we would call the Palmer worm. They are the larvae. They're the smaller demons. And they wander around. Did you know that there are groups of demons that just go from place to place, kind of like gypsies or something, and they're looking to pick your pocket, or they're looking to mess your life up, or they're looking to see what they can do. That's what they do. That's what they exist for. And there are some people here today, all of us, we've dealt with these Palmer worm demons, these traveling little bands of demons. They're pilgrims, and they're just going from place to place. And the thing about these is they don't stay around all the time, but you never know when they're coming. You don't know to expect these. These are the little demons, the little things that can cause you problems. I mean, you decide, well, I'll just floor it, Brother Aaron, and go through that red light. And all of a sudden, you see a blue light in your rearview mirror. Or you say, well, I know I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. And you go ahead and say it. Then your whole day's messed up. Or your spouse comes in and it's the weekend. And all of a sudden they're going to start griping about something. And they'll ruin the whole weekend when that little Palmer worm gets a hold of them and takes control. Anybody know what I'm talking about here this morning? I mean, some of you still arguing over something stupid that happened on Friday when Sweetie got in. Come on. You know, you've let a Palmer worm in your house. Squish that devil. Squish him. Put him under your feet. And you get restored from that day. But then the next stage of the locust and their development after that is the canker worm. And another name for the canker worm is called the licking locust. I don't like stuff to be licking on me. We got a puppy, and that joker likes to lick on you. I'm just not into that. I don't like that dog licking on me. Well, the licking locust. The licking locust, as it emerges from the Palmer worm or caterpillar state, it is something that you'll see eating the grass. They eat grass and they eat the leaves and the tree, but they really are not very mobile, except they just kind of itch along. They kind of just creep along. And Nahum chapter 3 says this spoil. It says that the cankerworm spoils and flees away when its wings are then later developed. So he doesn't have wings, but he will spoil things. There are times when demons will come, like this, the cankerworm. And what they do is they don't totally destroy something of their cells, but they'll cause something to be sour there. Have you ever had like a piece of fruit or something that you bought and it's in the bag? Like I bought some apples one time and one of them was bruised up and I didn't realize it, but it was bruised and it was leaking out some of the juice and it's sour. Those are saying, right? One bad apple destroyed a whole bunch. And it destroyed several of the other apples before I realized it. Well, that's kind of what these canker worm demons do. They come and they'll just plant a little seed there. They'll sow something small there to cause discord in your family or in your church. It usually starts with something like a rumor or an innuendo, something that nobody can substantiate or prove, but it just, hey, I know so-and-so is weak-minded and they'll believe it, so I'll plant this idea, I'll plant this thought in their mind about somebody. And then it starts discord as that thing grows. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ever experienced that? Ever seen the cankerworm operate in your family, in your school, in your place of work, in a church maybe? That's what the cankerworm will do. And there's demons like that that we need to be restored from. And then finally, there is the locust himself. And these locusts are interesting. You read about them, for instance, in Exodus chapter 10, where God sent a plague of locusts upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. You remember that plague? Do you know that they came by the millions, maybe billions, and they came and they ate everything that was green. There was not a blade of grass left in the land. What can you imagine how devastating that would be, Dustin, if you didn't have a blade of grass or anything to feed your livestock? I mean, it's going to be awful. People are going to starve. You're going to have mass starvation. It's kind of like what would happen to us if our electrical grid got hit. You know, and that's why we need to protect it. But in a year, the majority of our population be dead because we so depend on it. Well, that's what the locusts did. They came and they ate every sprig of grass, every leaf. There was not anything left that was edible. They got into people's houses and gnawed on the wood and everything. And the thing about these locusts, when they come, and these are the fully developed bug I've been talking to you about, they have wings, but they cannot direct their own flight. They are dependent upon the wind. You say, well, that means all locusts come from God, because the Bible says God holds the winds in his fist. Well, yes and no. Sometimes God does hold the wind in his fist. We know God sent a wind over Egypt and carried this swarm of locusts in the millions, maybe billions. And then when he got rid of them, he caused another wind to come and dropped them over into the east, into the Mediterranean Sea. And there they became good fish bait. But do you know what? The Bible describes the devil as the prince of the power of the what? Air. Let me tell you something. The devil can send some locusts your way. And these are the attacks that are devastating attacks of the enemy. This is when you go through a divorce. This is when you're told you're not going to live. You have an incurable disease. This is when your child that you have loved and poured your life into suddenly one day gets up and they're not the same child. It's like they're totally different. And we know that's demonic when that's happening. There's demonic activity. This is when all of a sudden you see smoke on the horizon and your house is burned down, or you've lost everything you've got. You get to work and the job that you've had for 25 years, all of a sudden they say, we don't need you anymore. And you don't have a plan B. That's an attack of the locust. These are the worst attacks. These are the devastating attacks. And you might say, well, Brother Tom, what can we do? What can we do? Well, let me tell you what. We can limit some of these attacks. First of all, if we'll put God first. Amen? If we'll put God first and if we'll live for God, a lot of attacks that God will not allow into our life to get us on the right track, he won't have to send. Amen? And a lot of times the locusts, the way they get into your life is you leave a window open, a door open. You leave an invitation, an entree for them to come into your life and to operate. And so we can limit the amount of locust activity that way. So then we get to like the last third of attacks of these locusts, these last kind of attacks. What do we do there? What you do there is you depend on the Lord. And you put your faith in him and you keep putting him first. You keep serving him. And I want you to notice, there's in the Bible, it describes in the Bible Satan as a devourer, the spirit of Abaddon. And that's another name for Satan, the destroyer, the devourer. The Bible says Satan has come but to kill, steal, and destroy, right? But I want you to know, as strong as the devil is, and he's strong, he's strong. He don't have the final say. Can I get an amen? Amen. The devil doesn't have the final say. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the devil doesn't have the final say. He doesn't have the final say. He doesn't. You see, because God is in charge. Amen? I love this quotation I found. God will never let what you lost be the best you ever had. My God, that's good. That'll make a Baptist shout and a Methodist dance. God will never let what you lost be the best that you ever had. Hallelujah. I know that to be true. Let me tell you, I was devastated when my wife told me on the day before Father's Day, I'm leaving you. And she ran off with a man at the yacht club. It about destroyed me, I thought. But you know what? I thought that was the best. Oh, I didn't know. Because when I met Gene, I heard in my head, you're simply the best. You're simply the best. Y'all know that song? I just heard it in my head. She's simply the best. Glory to God. I better get some good, sweet, you know, some cake or something out of this. About fell down. Got me so nervous. She still makes me nervous, y'all. If your spouse don't make you nervous, there's something wrong, okay? She still makes me nervous. But you know what? God will never allow what you lost to be the best you'll ever have. I don't care what it is. That's the kind of God we serve today, folks. The best is always yet to come. Amen? The best is yet to come. You know, you think about it. Jesus died on a cross. But that wasn't the end, was it? Simon Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Oh, but that wasn't the end of it. No, because God still had a plan for him. Hallelujah. And in your life, things that you have lost might seem like it's over. Job lost it all, but that wasn't the end of it. I didn't tell you the rest of the story because God restored Job, didn't he? And gave him 7 times what he had before. My God. What the devil takes from you, he got to give it back 7 times. Woo! Glory to God. I think about things I lost. I think about a stupid investment I made. Lost 20-something $1,000. Thought I was going to make a bunch of money. Glory to God, that's come back 7 times. Plus interest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, if you're living outside of God's will, the message is, get back in God's will so you can limit the attacks of these bugs, okay? And if you're in God's will and you get attacked, just hang on, baby. Tie a knot. When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot. I say, and just swing for a little while. Just hang on and swing. Glory to God, because God's coming to your rescue. I tell people, he's rarely early, but he's never late. Amen. I don't know what time he's coming, but he's going to be on time. Right? He'll be on time. I don't know what time it is, but he'll be on time. And so you just hang in there. You hang in there like a hare in a biscuit this morning. Glory to God. You ever got a hare in a biscuit and you try, you can't get it out. Just throw the biscuit. You hang in there like a hare in a biscuit because God's got something good coming. This isn't the best it's going to be. You might be heartbroken today. You might be down in the gutter today. You might be just feeling like, I can't make it. There's no way to go on. Baby, hang on because you got a God that can restore. God can turn it around, turn it around, turn it around. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. We got a God that loves doing restoration. I'm glad he does. He's better than that man on the that channel, Discovery? No, DIY or something, another channel. He's better than that joker on there with an old rusty coat machine. Because he can take your rusty old life. He can take what's broken. You can even have missing parts, but he can find them. He knows just where to get the parts. And when he gets through assembling it, when he gets through putting a fresh coat of paint and a lacquer finish on it, and he plugs that joker in, all of a sudden you'll start shining again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got a God that loves to restore things. Woo! And I believe that 2017 is a year of restoration for our nation, for families, for churches, for individuals. Glory to God. I pray, I believe in him to restore my eyesight. I'm tired of these stupid glasses. Glory to God. I'm believing that families are going to come together. I'm believing finances are going to be blessed, not so we can just get filthy rich, but so we can finance the kingdom and the final push of getting the gospel out before Jesus returns, because he's close. That first verse, the Lord, blow the trumpet in Zion, for the Lord is nigh at hand. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you, he's close. Right now, I believe Gabriel's lips are on the horn. He's that close. You know, we got some boys in here that play in the band. You don't put your lips on that horn until you're fixing to blow it. I believe Gabriel's lips are on the horn. But I believe before he comes back, we're going to see a mighty restoration of the church. Hallelujah. We're going to see a great exchange. What the devil has taken from the church is going to get back. We're going to get back our dignity. We're going to get back the blessings. You don't have to be in poverty. You know what the best thing to tell somebody is poor? You don't have to be poor no more. Amen. You're coming out of poverty. You're going to come out of depression. You're going to come out of sickness and walk in healing. You're going to come out of doubt and discouragement, and you're going to walk in confidence. You're going to realize, like my Jesse says, you are the head and not the tail. God made you to be better than you've been, and you will be better in this year, in Jesus' name. I vow it, I decree it, and I declare it, and I believe it in the name of Jesus. Give God the praise this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand.